Pastor Tony Alamo. I'm sitting in here tonight again for Fred Szymanski. I'm going to be talking about things that are happening in this world today, and I've got some guests here. Just stay tight, and we're going to get to it. One of the things that Greg always asks me when I'm on radio with him is he wants to know how I was received salvation. And it's really a story. I've told it two times on the air, but I'm not quite sure that the people that are listening this evening are aware of it. We have had a lot of resistance during the time that I have been born again of the Spirit. The entire government has been resisting true Christians and have been resisting the people of Israel. It really is very disturbing the way that people have been deceived today. Like, for instance, when the Jews went back to Israel, they themselves started calling Israel Palestine. And how I've always been a very patriotic person, my late wife and myself, and how messed up the thinking is of a lot of patriotic people in this country today. They don't have any realization of what it is that has happened unto them. They think that they're trying to, there's so many of them that say we've got to get rid of the Jews, and really they think that it's the Jews that's attempting to take over the world. And the truth of the matter is that the Vatican, there was a man that they put some fake papers on, and they threw him inside of a house of prostitution. And so the gendarmes or the police came in. They were reported there's a dead man in here, and they found these papers that were planted on him by Jesuits, and it was the what they call the protocols of the Zionists or the people of Zion, the children of Zion, and really it's a fake, a forgery. And the Jews have, there's no possible way that the Jews are attempting to control the world. I lived in Israel for a while, and the Jews are poverty-stricken. All the money that comes into the place, and a lot of people say, oh, yeah, they're poverty-stricken. They run Wall Street and all this, and they say these things, the news media, to make people believe that, and a lot of people, as a matter of fact, the whole world is deceived. They believe these things, and that's so sad. I don't want the Jewish people to keep calling the land of Israel Palestine anymore. Don't do that. That really irks God, and it really irks me, and it should irk every Jewish person on the face of this earth to call the homeland, the land of milk and honey, the place that God gave to the Jews, Palestine. What happened really was that God dispersed all over the world the Jews because of their sins. But God stated in his word that he would send the Jewish people back to their homeland, Israel. And it's like, to me, blasphemy when people call Israel Palestine. Never was. While the Jews were gone for 2,000 years, it's like the Bible states that, you know, when people leave, well, here comes the Vandals and the people, and they said, wow, this is a nice place to live, and so we're going to move in. Now, when I was there, yeah, there wasn't anything that the Jews despised about the Palestinians living there, but it's Israel, and they don't mind if people live from all the different Arabic nations. I know I was, I used to go to Nazareth up on the mountain, and the place is infested with Arabs, and they're very nice. Every one of them were very pleasant, very nice. They loved the Jews. They could tell that I was a Jew. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. I changed my name to Tony Alamo years ago when I used to be in the entertainment industry as a singer. And I later became a promoter. I was also being involved in acting and things like that, but I'm really not an actor. I'm just the way I am. I am what I am. That's it. And so, you know, I used to visit them, and you take on Mount Tabor, which is also, there's so many Arabs there. It's all Arabic. Well, I even went to the stores up on the mount there in Nazareth, and all the people that worked in the stores were Arabs. I visited an ice cream shop there, and the people were Arabs, and they all loved me. They said, "You're Yahudi." That means Jewish. And I said, "Yes, how can you tell?" And they just put their hands up on their face, and we can tell by your face. And so, you know, they do not really despise the Jews. And the Jews are not trying to take it over. The Jews are extremely friendly people, the ones that I know. And the Bible states, the Apostle Paul said, "What profit is there in being a Jew?" Now, this is in the New Testament. He says, "Much in every way, for it was to them that God gave the oracles of God." In other words, they had the Old Testament. So they were able to see the plan of salvation in the Old Testament far before the Gentiles were. The Bible plainly states that. There's, he says that the oracles of God were given unto the Jewish people. And this is one of the things that I really wanted to make get straight tonight, is that the Jews don't ever let anyone call your land Palestine, because God said that he is going to bring you back after the 2,000 years at the end of the Gentile dispensation of time. Well, you know, the Arabs are Gentiles. The Bible, and this, I'm not saying this to be offensive to people, but if you read the Bible, you'll see that it says the same thing, that this is not this is the bastard race. Well, what do you mean by bastard? They really don't, they're not the children of promise. Now, yes, God did promise Abraham that he would be, that his seed would be, there would, in other words, we'd be the blessing to every nation on earth, provided they received the promise, in other words, the covenant. Well, the Bible said that Sarah would have a child, that Abraham and Sarah would have a child, and not Hagar. That didn't mention anything about that, but because Sarah got impatient, she wanted Abraham to go into her maid, and she was an Egyptian, and he had relationships with her, and Ishmael came out, and this is not the child of promise. This is the beginning of the Arabic nations, Palestine and all the others. But God, if you'll read the Bible, you'll see that God gave that land of Israel to the Jew. It's the land of milk and honey. They're the ones that were to enter into the land of milk and honey, Israel, but they were afraid of the giants, with the exception of two of the witnesses, and one was Joshua, and the other was another Israeli, Caleb. And those were the only two old-timers that were allowed to enter in to cross the Jordan to their land, the land that God gave them. And when God gives you something, when he gave them that land, so long as they kept the covenant, they were going to be able to stay there. But they, when they broke covenant with the Lord dispersed them, and he said he'd bring them back in the last days, and at the end of the Gentile dispensation, and that happened in 1947 and 48. And again, this is Tony Alamo. I'm sitting in here for Greg Szymanski. He asked me to do that yesterday, and I was on the air for 2 hours yesterday with some guests that I had here, and I have some here this evening. So you're listening to the real stuff now. There's all kinds of distractions in the world today. But, you know, there are several things that people really need to get into their hearts, their souls, their heads, and they need to know that Israel is Israel, not Palestine, and they need to know that there's only one way that people are able to get into the kingdom of heaven, and that is true, the number one Jew, the world's greatest Jew, the one that God came into the world as a man, and the man's name was Jesus. He was a real man. He had real human blood. He had real human flesh, real human bones, and everything that we humans have, he had. Now, the Lord says that he would be the seed of Abraham. He'd be the seed of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Jacob, God changed his name to Israel. And the 12 tribes were his sons, and the place was occupied by them. And that, and he said, now, just because he dispersed them, he never took the land away or ever called the land that he would give it to the Palestinians, but he said that they would be returning in the last days. So even if you left your house and you went to, say, Bermuda or someplace, and you see, well, you come back to your home and you see somebody moved into it, it is, and it's not theirs. It belongs to the Jew. And it's in the Bible that they were going to come back. Now, Greg Szymanski always used to tell me, well, how did you get saved? Well, I'm a Jew, and God made a promise that we Jews would be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles in the last days. So you better listen to us. You know, God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. Now, what profit? Now, we have a lot of people resisting the truth. And even the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in 2 Timothy stated that Alexander the coppersmith had done him much harm, because what he did was he resisted the gospel vigorously, the way that that Paul stated that he was preaching, and he warned the other people to resist, to not listen to him at all, because there's something you know about liars. People, the spirit of Satan is extremely cunning, and you can be deceived. And the Lord said that the whole world would be deceived in these last days. Now, I was deceived as well before the Lord visited me in an office in Beverly Hills. I was there, I was doing a promotion. I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher and Best of the Beatles and many other people. Ravon, the singer, and I promoted Ravon actually after I was saved. A lot of people in the motion picture industry and the music industry thought I had gone crazy, because I was out on the streets passing out gospel tracts and witnessing to people and praying them through. We'd both get on the on our hands and knees right there on Hollywood Boulevard on the sidewalk, and I'd ask them to just say this prayer, ask Jesus to come into your heart and wash you with his precious blood, and he will. And this was the time when the hippies were going crazy all over the actually all over Hollywood. And I didn't like the hippies in the first place because I loved at that time Hollywood because it was a very glamorous place until the hippies came on the scene. And the boulevard became dirty and people walking around with their long hair and their blue jeans that were they were ripped in the knees and their pockets were hanging off of them. They actually stunk. You could tell some of them hadn't had a bath and they were walking around with their eyes rolled back in their head. And I didn't like them because, to me, I was the promoter of motion picture stars and singers. And, I didn't know how to promote filth and dirt, and there wasn't anything in it that I believed in. And here, I thought that my ministry, after I was saved, would go to the motion picture stars and the affluent people and the singers and musicians that I knew very well. But anyway, I was doing a promotion for a singer named Bobby Jameson. He was from Arizona. I heard a bunch of guys bragging about him. They were all sitting around in one of these big U-shaped booths at the place called the Carolina Pines. And I was sitting near, and they were saying, oh, he's going to make it big. He's going to do this. He has an appointment with Warner Brothers in the morning. He also has an appointment with Alan Livingston over at Capitol Records, and Randy Wood over at BJ Records is interested in him. And the Tijuana Brass Band called me over after I signed Bobby up and wanted to sign him on their label. And Capitol Records was just opening a new label called Tower Records because they're in the Capitol Tower. And they were wanting him, so I decided to go over to the booth while they were bragging on him, and I said, if this guy here is as good as you say he is, I'll make him the biggest star going. And before this, I had a lot of money from another promotion that I did. It's called the 20 Original Hits. I'm the one that started this record offer thing that you see on TV all the time. I had to start out with 20 original hits. There were no fillers. They were all number one smash hits. And so we all went up to a place behind Franklin Avenue. There was a magician's castle up there. It's still there. And they lived in a little hole-in-the-wall apartment there. And I listened to his music, and I could tell they were all hits. He wrote fantastic songs, commercial songs. And so I signed him up, and I asked his mother to come down and sign the papers because he was only 17 at that time. And she did. She came down, signed the papers, and I started doing a promotion in Billboard magazine, the different trade papers. And before I even cut him on records, but we didn't need a lot of records. Jack Nitzsche, who did a lot of the arranging for the Stones, and Jackie DeShannon, and a lot of other big people, and the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, he wanted to cut him, but I said, Jack, you know, your arrangements are too big, and this kid has got a very thin voice, and it has to be, which is the bass, the drums, and Bobby Jameson playing the guitar. So, here everybody started wanting to know who this guy was because I didn't let anybody see his face. And each week, the ad that I had in Billboard would get bigger. First, it was a quarter page ad with the silhouette of him. And then the next week was the half page, then three quarters of a page the next week, and then a full page. Then the week after that, it was a two-page spread, the world's next phenomenon, Bobby Jameson. And then it turned into a three-page ad, and then it just kept there, the world's next phenomenon, Bobby Jameson. I didn't even put the name of the record company on there because I wanted everybody to believe that it was Frank Sinatra at Reprise or Capitol or RCA Victor, one of the big majors that was doing this promo. And everybody did. Bill Wardlow from Billboard magazine called me and says, man, you're going to run a picture of this guy, because if you don't, I mean, people are going to start saying they're Bobby Jameson and start taking advantage of all the money that you spent on him. So after the four-page ad, I ran a picture of his face and told that it was Talamo Records, T-A-L-A-M-O. And that's like T for Tony and Talamo Records in my last name, A-L-A-M-O. And so I did that, and then I started releasing records, and all of them started hitting number one no matter what area I put them out in. And so everyone was really stirred up about these this boy, this recording, and they're calling me over at MCA and William Morris and all the different agencies, all the TV programs wanted him on. And my attorney told me that the attorney for the Beatles and also there was some movie stars Shirley MacLaine, Barton MacLaine, and a lot of different other movie stars were begging me to go to this attorney's office at Beverly Hills. Hello? Yeah. I don't know what that was, folks, but anyway, we went over there, and all of a sudden we're sitting down, and the attorney said, well, look, man, that's the best promotion I ever saw in my life. And so told... Hello? Okay, there seems to be some interference on this line. So anyway, so maybe you could call around and tell people not to call me, all right? That would be something good. So anyway, I went in, and then all of a sudden I said, look, we don't need any money. I don't need any money. I'm going to do this promotion on my own. And just when I was saying that, while I was thinking to say it, my ears shut off, and I felt this real strong power come down on me. It was like a real warm anointing, but it was powerful. And I heard this voice. I couldn't hear anything out of my natural ears. I just stopped hearing it. And I could hear all the way through my body this voice saying, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And so, in the meantime, one of you called the station over there to see if I'm still on. So I thought, well, I'm going crazy. And so I decided to get out of the office and check into a private...
You are on.
Okay, great, thanks. Decided to check into a very well-to-do type mental institution. I figured I'd go in and make some wallets or some purses or whatever they do in there, some finger painting or string beads. I didn't know what they do there, but I'd go in and be rehabilitated. I heard, I figured I'm a genius, and I guess, the geniuses flip out now and then. And so I guess this is my time. It's no big deal. I figure, this artist flipped out, and he cut his ear off and threw it in the trash and picked it out of the trash and put it in an envelope and sent it to his girlfriend for whatever reason. And a friend of mine, Don Gibson, who wrote I Can't Stop Loving You and Oh Lonesome Me and Sweet Dreams and all kinds of very major songs like that, he went to dry out. He was on alcohol, and he went into the rehabilitation center. I think it was Camarilla, which is also the place where they take people where they're not thinking straight. And I said, no, everybody still admires him, and everybody admires that artist, and so they'll probably still admire me. No big thing. I tried to get out of my chair, and I couldn't. It was this power that just made it was so powerful, but it made my knees weak and my whole body feel weak also. And I thought, you know, I just got to get up. But I couldn't get up. And then this voice again cut through me. I could hear it's good in my chest, my arms, my feet, my legs, everywhere. Doubt not, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in the room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And right after that, right at that instant came down a tremendous power. It was like this power filled everything. There's no empty space in the universe or in the world. He just filled everything, and I understood his intelligence and his power, that all power belongs to this this power. That he knew everything. I heard people say, well, I knows the very hairs on your head. Well, at that time, it wasn't at all hard for me to understand that, because I knew that he knew every fiber in the carpet. He knew everything that I had done. He knew me before I was born. He knew everything, every sin that I did in my life. And he just knew everything and everybody before they were born. And later, years later, I read in the Bible after I was saved that he knew Jeremiah the prophet before he was even in his mother's womb. And that's just these things that have come up after I was saved. It just still does give me cold chills, because there is this great being, this great I am, right in the room where you're at, right wherever you are, and he is the atom. He is the molecules. You're made up of his thoughts. You and I are figments of his imagination, or whatever you want to call it, but he's real, and we're just, if he thought us up, and he created us with his word. And then he told us to breathe, and his spirit is so powerful and so commanding that we did start breathing. And some people he lets breathe for a few years. Some people he doesn't let breathe. Some people are born stillborn. And so I thought, now if there's a God, there's got to be a devil, because I've heard that before. I never really studied the Bible or even picked it up. So I said, I just got to get out of here. And so I pushed myself up from the chair as hard as I could, and I was just standing there. And then the spirit started lifting out of my body, and it would go back in. It would lift up and down, like the Lord was playing with me. God was playing with me like he would play with the yo-yo. And then this voice came all through me saying, now you know. Now you know. Now you know. And I said, yes, Lord, don't kill me. Don't kill me. I'll tell them. And with all this wisdom and understanding and knowledge that came down, I knew there was a heaven and a hell. I knew it. And I know that I'm going to continue on with this. I hear the music starting, and I'll be back in just a moment. This is Tony Alamo, world pastor. Continue listening. Woke up today, I was crying, lost in the lost world.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father, with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. For any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar's.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
If you read the history books, the most often asked questions of Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773.
Praise the Lord again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and I'm sitting in tonight for Greg Szymanski, his program, The Investigative Journal. And I really thank him very much. It's real flattering that Mr. Szymanski should ask me to sit in for him. It's very flattering to me. And if any of you people would like to contact us, we have worldwide radio. We're on all over the world. And but if you can't get us by radio, we're on shortwave and on AM and FM stations. But you can then contact me at alamoministries.com. That's worldwide web, alamoministries.com. But to continue on with the testimony, and listen, I'm the last person that I would ever think that God would call me or talk to me or anything like that. I never, ever dreamed of such a thing. I was into the promotion. I had very strong connection with the jukebox industry. They had a 500,000 jukeboxes in the country, and any time they said that I would cut a record, that they would put it on all the jukeboxes, which means that would be a sale of 500,000 records immediately, that which would at least put me in the top 20 on the national charts, and more than likely on the top 10. I also had very good friends at Billboard and Cashbox magazines, and all I'd have to do is report to them the sales and bring the receipts up, and they would definitely put me on the national charts. And even Melody Maker, which is one of the top, probably the Bible in Europe, in Britain, and they would have done the same thing there. And I had so many things, television programs tied up where I could put any artist that was good that I had, and I wouldn't take anyone unless they were good. I'm going to put them right on television on the top shows. Back then it was Ed Sullivan, Red Skelton, and all these different ones. And I was even managing some disc jockeys. Terry Knight, who was the DJ at that time in Windsor, Ontario, his program was number one in Windsor, Ontario, Cleveland, Ohio, and Detroit. And any time that you get play on those stations, you would be, you get number one there. Well, that would break the, what they call breaking the record. It would then spread all over the nation and all over the world. But anyway, I'm in this office, getting back to this testimony that the Lord gave me. I started telling him, don't kill me. God, please don't kill me. I'll tell them. And I was, and then he put the spirit back in me, like he was using my spirit like a yo-yo. I said, Lord, I'll tell them, but don't make me tell them. No, I had an entourage of a lot of people. It was about 17 or 18 people. It was including Bobby James, and I had six off-duty Los Angeles police motorcycle cops. I had a chauffeur for the limo, the stretch limo that we, Jameson and I, were riding in. And this motorcade was two in the front, one on each side, these motorcycle police, LAPD, and two in the back. And then I had an entourage, all the whole entourage, the barber, the nurse. It was just a hype. We're riding behind in Lincolns and Cadillacs, and there are all these people up there, and the Lord's doing this to me. On top of that, my attorney, not the attorney that wanted to invest for the movie star, but my attorney was there, and his wife. And the Lord started pulling the breath in and out of me, and I says, Lord, I'll tell him now. Don't kill me. And so the breath went back into me. And I says, okay, you guys, I thought, man, I can't, you can't con God. He just would not be conned. I couldn't reason with him to do things my way. And I don't think Frank Sinatra or anybody else could make God do things their way. We must, I absolutely was compelled to do things God's way, or I knew that my soul would leave me and I would be in hell. And the Lord showed me that there was a heaven and a hell, and there was no argument with me. I never thought it was self-righteous. I knew where I'd go. Later in the Bible I read that the common harlot and a publican shall enter the kingdom of heaven before the self-righteous. You see all these people sitting in church and they think they're saved. There's a piece of literature that we have that is called That's What It's All About, Bessie. And she tells how she was in a church. She was baptized Protestant, and then later she got married to some guy, and she was baptized into the Catholic Church, which is meaningless. It's just absolutely meaningless because you must be born again of the Spirit. And then she died, and she had this supernatural experience. Right in for that piece of literature, you'll see that it doesn't make any difference if you're a Protestant or a Catholic or a Buddhist or a Muslim or anything. That doesn't mean it's meaningless. Denominations are meaningless. The Spirit of the Lord must live in your heart, and you must allow that spirit to mortify or to kill the deeds of your flesh. In other words, to kill the former life that you were living. I mean, the deeds of the former life that you were living. We're not allowed to live the way that we did. And so many, she thought she was really saved and that she was going to heaven. And her spirit went to hell. And the Lord was holding on to her while she was there. And she said, Lord, I don't want to be here. I never wanted to be here. And so there she also saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And from that cross, he said, this is what it's all about, Bessie. And you'll enjoy this piece of literature, and it has done a lot of excellence for people that are sitting in denominational churches that they're not saved. They go to church. She never did a wrong thing. She took care of the little kids. And she even starved herself to give the little children as she was taking care of food when she didn't have any. And she was a good woman. But it doesn't make any difference how good we are if we don't know Christ, if we don't know the Spirit of the Lord. If He's not dwelling in our heart and using our bodies as a garment, a suit, a suit of armor, He dwells in the human flesh just as He did Jesus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit enters into your soul, and you allow God. And the way you know what to do is you read the Bible, and then the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs you. Sometimes He tells you to go, and sometimes He tells you to stay. Well, anyway, to order that piece of literature, that's what it's all about. Bessie, and again, you can receive a copy of that and this testimony tract. It's my testimony, which I'm telling you right now. Just get a hold of www.alamoministries.com, alamoministries.com, and we'll send you, even if you can't afford it, we'll send you a Bible, King James Version of the Bible. And I've written many pieces of literature, and I have a radio program, and we send the audio tapes out to whoever wants them, or a CD. It's absolutely free, and we pay the handling charges, the mailing charges, the packing and mailing, all that's paid for. Now, the abuse that we've taken since I've been saved a minute. I didn't get saved that day. But anyways, I started telling Jesus, okay, you guys, you know that God, I never believed in God or Jesus, but God is telling me that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. They all looked at me. I thought they were just going to freak out. And so they just looked at me. Their eyes were real wide. And it was like they were watching a movie or something. And so the Lord started pulling the breath in and out of me again, and I said, what's inside of me? I wasn't saying it outwardly. I said, Lord, what's wrong? I said it. And He said, you know, when He used to promote the American Ale Studios, He put crystal clear blocks in front of me of a lot of the different major promos that I did. Hello, this is Earl McDaniel with the most fantastic record offer of all time, 20 smash hits. On one big album for so much money. And before that, this is the American Health Studios in silhouette figure form. Add more inches on your arm if you're a man. Take 3.5 inches off your waist and so on and so forth. Add more years to your life and more life to your years. Join the American Health Studios in silhouette figure form international. And all this, that I was with these organizations, I was the executive vice president, could be established from Ray Wilson. He's still the big guru of health studios. I was in that industry with him and Charlie Tartella and Herb Calhoun and many other people that are in the health studio business. And so I said, I told him, he says, now that you know that I'm here and you've done all these big promos and hyped people out of their skulls, and all you're going to say is, you know, God's telling me that Jesus Christ is coming back to us again. And so I says, oh, my God, I didn't give it any enthusiasm. And this is God, and why should I care about what people think about me in this room or anywhere else in the world? Why should I care? Why am I embarrassed to talk about God? Well, really, you know, get down to the bottom line is that because most people think you're crazy when you're talking about God. Amen?
Amen.
So I guess, you know, they thought Jesus, all the prophets, Moses, and all them were crazy. Well, the Bible states that, you know, people do think that you're crazy, especially if you speak in tongues in front of people and things like that. And so I don't do it. Paul stated, don't speak in tongues in the congregation because the unsaved will think you're crazy.
And yet I see a lot of people that are ministers. I've only been saved for almost 43 years. And when I thank God that God gave me Susie, my late wife, she passed away in April 8th, 1982. And she told me, you know, don't do this in certain churches, and here's what you're supposed to do. And I was using so much slang, like hip, you know, bebop type of speech, that she says, people can't even understand what you're talking about. She said, so she started taking me around to different missions where the people were winos there and everything. And so they weren't really paying that much attention to the gospel anyway, because they're in another world with all the booze that's in them. And so finally she says, okay, now you did pretty good today, but here's what you did wrong. And she trained me. And she led me through all the ropes. She was saved 25 years before I was. And she actually had a huge healing from the Lord. She was dying of tuberculosis, and she was just about ready to die. And that night, she could hear the doctor in the hallway of this little house in Dyer, Arkansas, saying, she can't make it another night. And the mother was sobbing, and she says, your hearing becomes extraordinarily alert, you know, or bright. When you're laying there by yourself on the front porch, it was screened in and windowed in, and she could hear much better than the average person. And her mother was saying, I can't let her go. I can't. And a bunch of people from, you know, two or three of them came over from across the street. There was an old garage, a block building where they fixed cars, and they at the end of the day, they'd church meetings, and people, she could hear the gospel songs over there, and they would be singing all kinds of, oh, how I love Jesus, and songs, y'all fly away, and all these old-time gospel songs. And it caused me to love those songs so much because I could feel the Holy Spirit in them, but I don't feel any Holy Spirit in these people doing what they call gospel rap. It's like right out of the pits of hell. And a lot of other secular rock and roll garbage songs. I mean, when I was in the rock and roll business, I did rock and roll. When I'm in the gospel field now, I want to feel the Holy Spirit in the songs that we're playing in our church and the songs that I sing, all right?
Amen.
And I do a good job of singing songs if I do say so myself.
Amen.
You can hear them on my website, too, or on my program. Not just me. I play a lot of other artists as well. But anyway, her room, when they were praying for her, filled up with clouds, she said. And she could see angels all around in that room, that little room in Dyer, Arkansas. And then she saw this big nail-pierced hand coming down from from these clouds, and it touched her chest, and she was healed. And, boy, I'll tell you, about 15 years later, Susie and I were playing around. She dislocated her shoulder, so I took her over to a chiropractor, a friend of mine named Dr. Vampa, V-A-M-P-A, in Hollywood, and he x-rayed her arm, and so we went home, and he set it, and, you know, adjusted her a little bit, and he called me on the phone, and he says, Tony, and I said, what? He said, is Susie listening? And I said, no. He said, my God, Tony, her lungs are as black as coal. There's just scar tissue all over. And I said, well, yeah. I started laughing. I said, don't worry about it. She had tuberculosis when she was a young girl, and the Lord healed her. And I told her that testimony that I just told you now. And he says, God, he says, so this man was Italian. And he was a good friend of mine. He looked like the movie star Lou Conti. Dr. Vampa. So anyway, I knew that her testimony was true. And later, when she was healed, she got hungry. She hadn't eaten for days, and her uncle owned a little hole-in-the-wall grocery store about a half a block down. That town's very little. And she says, Mom, I want some deviled ham. What is this? That Underwood and also some pickles. And her grandmother, who was always the thorn in her flesh, said, she can't have that, she's sick. The mother says, get it. I don't care what she puts in her body. As long as she wants to eat something, I'm going to let her eat it. All right? And so she, they ran over there and got, they called the uncle up. He opened up the store and they got it. She ate it. And one of her relatives just was married, and they got a little cabin out in the Ozark Mountains. And they said, they asked her mother, why don't you let her come out and live with us for a while? We've got a cow and some chickens, and she can have fresh eggs and all that over here, and she might get back in health. And every day there was a calendar on the wall, and there was a picture of her. She thought it was her anyway. It was a picture of this blonde girl hanging on to this chiseled-out cross that was made out of rock. It was thick. And this girl in the picture, this cross was in the middle of a rushing stream, and she had a white gown on, and the gown was, the bottom of the gown was going down, trying to go downstream too, and sweep her off of that old rugged cross. And she said to her, that was, in her mind, that girl was her. And at that young age, she knew that she was the sinner, and she just was weeping and crying all the time, and she'd play this record on one of these crank record machines, where there was a spindle, and they put the needle on it, and it, the song was, When the World's on Fire. When the world's on fire, will you make God's bosom to be your pillow? And she was crying, then she got in the woods to pray, and one day, one late morning, she saw the Lord coming back to earth again. He had a red gown on, the way that what they wore back then, and his feet were close together, and there was a rainbow around him of many colors, colors that you never see. These colors were alive. And she saw all these different animals fighting each other, and they were representative of different countries that are actually trying to devour each other today. And so she saw this, and she was saved, born again of the Spirit. And she found it in the Bible, and she cried out to God, and God, the Lord, would appear to her. The Lord appeared to me once with my eyes wide open, but the Lord appeared to her many times and would talk to her. And I really never, ever, ever, I hear people just talking about this and that, you know, about, well, you know, what about your children and this, and what about your husband and your husbands and your wives and all this kind of stuff, and we have to do this and we have to do that, and it's just, you know, not touching on the weightier things that we need to know in order to be saved. If you tell your children and your wives and your husbands about the testimonies like what I'm telling you about, they'll get saved and they'll be all right. They won't be going around shooting one another. But there's a resistance. There's, this whole world is made out of billions of Alexanders, the copier smith, and they're resisting my gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? This is my gospel, and it should be your gospel, too. The truth. When you know the truth will set you free, and you'll have peace. This is the only peace that we have on this side of eternity. And so resist Satan. Don't let these evil one-world governments, this anti-Christ cult from Rome, which the Bible says, and its government, which is called the beast in the Bible, and the mouthpiece, which is the news media, tell you what is what, because they're telling you lies. Everything they say is a lie.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And what I'm telling you is the truth, and that's kind of hard for some of you people, hopefully not all of you, but some of you people, to receive. You'll receive everything else. And when I started telling the people in that room in the office, Jesus is coming back to earth again. I really wound up because I knew God would take the breath out of me and save my soul to hell. They says, get him out of here. He's crazy. And it was the first time I was telling them the truth. I was telling them that this singer, Bobby Jameson, was the world's next phenomenon. Oh, build, I could sell ice cubes to Eskimos, but I couldn't tell them the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that weird? You bunch of weirdos out there. Come on, believe the truth and be saved. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so finally the Lord started coming down me and say, that's enough. And my hearing started coming back, and I could hear the Jewish attorney in there saying, get him out of here, it's Meshuggah. That means crazy. And I says, I'm Meshuggah. You're the one that asked me to come over here. You were so hyped up over this promotion, this phony promotion that I was doing, that you were all, all fours, your hands and feet. You were willing to just, take any kind of money out of the bank to invest in this thing. And I didn't want you to invest. I wanted to get the glory for it because I thought that was the glorious thing. After that happened to me, that was the smuttiest, nothingest thing on the face of this earth. And all these promos I did seemed like dirt because there isn't anything in this world that is of any value for you or me at the judgment bar of God. When the soul leaves our body, friends, you're not going to be thinking about anything on this earth. You're going to be confronted with the Lord. And if you haven't done business with Him, if you don't have His Spirit in you, the Spirit of holiness, and if you're going to believe this false doctrine, you're going to be so sorry when you stand before the Lord. Because just as easy as He was pulling the breath in and out of me, I knew that my very breath, my life, was in His hands. And as a prophet of the Lord, I'm telling you the same thing, that your breath is in His hands. And like I said, He's the molecules around you. He's everything. There's no emptiness in the universe. He absolutely fills everything. There's no space that is not filled in this world, in this whole universe. And He knows if you're making a decision right now. He knows if you're believing me. And if you don't believe me, read the Bible. Or if you're not believing me. But as for me, the Lord said, that's enough. And I started going down the stairs, and all these people that were with me, Big Jim, who was one of the bodyguards, which I've never really used bodyguards. He wasn't a bodyguard. He was an ambulance driver, and I just made him a bodyguard because he looked big. He says, boy, you put these people on the strip. And I think my time is up on this park was 2 hours. I've got that 1 hour now. Denial proposal or implant or anybody else.